welcome to Married AF. We are your hosts, Brooke and Randall Fowler. On this show, we discuss the topics that really matter.
Like big veiny cocks and our favorite TV shows.
So pull up a chair at our kitchen table and hang out.
While I bulldog my nuts.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. We're back. It's been a while.
Feels like forever.
Yes, we've had a few people quite pissed at us.
I like it, though.
We have ruined their morning drives into work, and they have nothing to listen to.
Well, then let's give them something to listen to. I'm not going to lie. I'm not 100% today. I did get to rest a little bit. But, yeah, this morning I was for sure hungover.
No, I feel great. I was fine then in regards to that.
You know,
I've been Tim the Toolman Taylor around the house, but I'm good as far as the drinky poos.
No, I felt like shit this morning. I mean, not like want to throw up, felt like shit. It was just, I can't hang anymore, man, like...
It dehydrates you more than it used to,
yeah,
or does me.
For sure.
I literally had like 6 beers, and it felt like back when I would have 20 beers.
Right. Well, I mean, I think I had, I don't remember what we determined. It was like 7 or 8 for me, and yeah, I mean it.
And what we're referring to, just so everybody knows, we went to one of Brooke's best friends. Is in a band called Gold, and they're awesome. And the way you spell it, in case you want to look it up, because we encourage that, is G-G-O-O-L-L-D-D. And her name is Margaret Butler. She's the lead vocalist, and her, for all intensive purposes, husband,
yeah,
partner, whatever.
Life mate.
His name is Nick. He is he's also a vocalist, guitarist. He plays the bass, or he was playing the bass at the show.
Yeah, he plays everything, though.
But the dude is a rock star wizard, so
yeah,
he's cool as shit. But
he kicks ass. So does Margaret and the other guys in the band, Nick and Mark.
Yeah,
also
they're
super nice.
Yeah, they're just a great band. But most of y'all know I'm pretty much only a country music guy, and I fucking loved it. They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're so definitely not country music, but they're just good music.
Yeah. And it was just a good time. And Randall and I never, ever, ever go out. And they've actually come into town twice in the past couple years to do some recording at a studio down in Cabbage Town. And each time they've come, they've been here for like a week or so at a time. But we've never been able to make it work to go see him. So literally back in like October or November, Margaret texted me and was like, we're going on tour and we'll be there April 10th. And you have to come. I'm giving you like 6 months notice. So we made it happen. Gunnar went and spent the night with Aunt Suze. And we also had the MVP, our niece, Casey, who was our Uber driver. She did some homework here at our house while after she dropped us off down at Center Stage and then came back here and then came and picked us up at like, I mean, what felt like 3 a.m., but it was like 11.
It was a late night for us.
I mean, yeah, we got picked up in Atlanta at 11, guys. It was
serious business.
Yeah, that is a late night out. So we did go down there at like for 7. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were down there for many hours, but it was such a good time. And so good to see Margaret and Nick and get to hug them and hang out. It's great.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I mean, I've got to give a little bit of backstory though to them, to all of our listeners that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they wouldn't know Margaret or Nick, but
yeah,
you know, Brooke and Margaret have been friends forever. And Margaret is, I mean, even before she did music, she's, you know, a rock star chick. But she's very, there's not much in this world that would intimidate me. Margaret almost intimidates me.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a bulldog.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, very beautiful girl, pretty, all that, but she'll cut through you. There's something about her. She's in a force is a better, better word.
That is a good description.
But her and Nick, they have such, I like their relationship a lot, which kind of goes with our show because, I don't know. They even each other out very well. He is a rock star in his own way. And this guy's, I don't know, he's probably 6'2", 6'3", long hair, a killer mustache.
Yes.
And when he plays the guitar, he just looks like the sexiest dude on earth. He doesn't, and he doesn't even have to be. It just makes him, it just works.
Now,
the guy's just a killer.
He was born to do that, and Margaret was born to do that, too. I mean, they were both just born to be on stage and entertain.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking awesome to see people that we know that well, that are, we know are good people, get to do that.
Oh, sure. Well, it's good to see people that go after their dreams, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Margaret didn't even sing until 5 years ago.
Yeah. They started the band, like,
I think 2014.
Yeah, there. Like, Nick's always been in bands, like, forever. That's how Margaret and Nick met, was when he was in a band playing somewhere. But he's from Appleton, Wisconsin. So they lived in Milwaukee and Appleton and for a while. And the way this particular band started was, it was like a New Year's Eve party they had for all their friends in Milwaukee, and decided to have Margaret sing with them one night, I think for New Year's Eve maybe. And then from then on, it was like, oh no, this is actually pretty badass. We're going to keep doing this. And now they're on a record label. Like, they have an agent. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Well, they've
crazy.
Done all kind of cool shit. Yeah, they played just all kind of cool shows. I mean, fucking Center Stage in Atlanta. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And they were opening for, I don't even remember the name of the
band. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, OMD. But they are like an 80s band that sing songs from, like, you know their songs. At least one that if you leave, that's in, I think, every John Hughes movie, probably from the 80s. So there was definitely a mixed bag of crowd there last night, but they won everybody over.
Oh, they stole the show.
Yeah.
And that's probably what was my favorite part, was seeing that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Not just for, you know, Margaret, Nick and their, you know, bandmates, but I mean, it's just cool to see people embrace something that maybe they weren't expecting to embrace, you know, as the opening band. We've all been to a bunch of concerts and you think you're there for the headliner, and usually you are, and then the opening act comes out. A great example, Blackberry Smoke did that to me.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands ever. When they were on the smaller stage early at Bama
Jam.
They
were one of the early,
early days.
It was like noon or something,
and they blew my tits off.
There was like 10 of us out in the crowd. Yeah.
And I'm a huge they're one of my favorite
bands. But that's
how
everybody gets started, you know, like nobody starts off a headliner.
Agreed. But they were so fucking good and better, I thought. But the parts of it that's funny to me was so I've got to tell the story is after they're done with their set, when, you know, Margaret had told us beforehand that, you know, after another set, I'm going to go to the merch table, you know, so she can say hello to fans and all that. So we headed out right after their set to go up there to say hello. And, we're going to get Brooke a beer at the bar. And Brooke doesn't see her. I said, well, there's Margaret. You know, she was already walking towards the stuff. She's already getting hounded. And Brooke's like, oh, okay, cool. And she walked over there and was talking to him. And I got the beers and came back and saw that, you know, Margaret had some people wanting to take pictures. And so she had given Brooke her phone. You know, I mean, they're best friends. So I'm sure she's just like, hold this for me. And some of the other, a few of the other fans were like, oh my God, she's letting you hold her phone.
Yeah. Well, it was because when she walked off like down the hall.
Oh, I know. It was just so awesome.
Ladies, yeah. Like the people that were standing there were like, oh, you have her phone. I was like, no, it's cool. Like, she's one of my best friends. And they're like, what?
Well, I know. And so you got almost,
I got like fangirl.
You got fandom by proxy.
I know. It was so weird.
It was so cool watching. I saw them. They were like, well, fuck, man. I'm going to talk to her then because she knows Margaret and the people in the band. So here's my business card. I'm in music. Tell Margaret and Nick and all them that we can make them famous here in Atlanta even more. And it was just so funny. And there was a few of them that continued to talk to Brooke like for an hour. As just like, figuring it was a pipeline to Margaret.
Like followed us back over to the merch table and stuff. And I was like, oh okay, you're coming too. Okay.
Which was fantastic. And Margaret was so good with the fans.
She's way better at it than I am.
And, you know, it's so fun to see. You know, it's inspirational in a way. I had a blast and I couldn't be happier for them and their success.
It makes me just happy inside and out. And I just love it.
But you wouldn't think, you know, I've never known any real musicians, right? And, you know, you imagine everybody's just people, so they're the same.
Right.
But, you know, we were seeing them, we were just talking to them, you know, good to see old friends. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole group of people that are, you know, oh my God, we want pictures.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was awesome to see some of the parents there that had young girls that, you know, obviously looked up to
that was awesome.
Margie and wanted pictures with her.
Love that.
And Margaret and Nick, they're so great. Their relationship's so cool. That's kind of why I'm staying on this topic because they're pretty awesome. But you got, you know, women that want to, you know, pull their pants off for Nick.
Yeah.
And you got old dudes and young dudes. Just dudes in general that want to rip their pants off for Margaret.
Right.
And they're both handling their own perspective parts so well.
I know.
And so cool. And Nick's hilarious with it. I mean,
yes.
He had a lady.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, she was shit-faced. It was so funny. And she was just all over him.
Yeah, she's the one that took the very blurry group picture of all four of us.
Well, yeah, she wanted, obviously, to buy him a drink. I think she bought him a drink or 10. And then she saw we were talking with him. And so I shot a picture for her, you know, of them with her phone. And then all of a sudden, she was like, I want a picture with all of us, too.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so weird. I was like, why? Mm-hmm. Why me? Oh, you know,
she's hammered. She had no
fucking clue. Funny.
Well, and then the funniest part was like when Nick walked off, like he found an opening.
Like a
I guess.
G.
Yeah, he just
he saw an off. Exit and
then
smart
all of a sudden, like she was like, "Where's Nick?" I was like, "I don't know." Like, God, what did she tell me? She was like, "Tell him." That
she
I
never
love
finished
him.
It. Yeah. No, she just said she was like rubbing her own face and stuff, and just said, "Well, just tell him."
Yeah.
And then she disappeared.
Yeah, then she walked back inside to where OMD was playing. But I was just like, I looked at Randall at that point and was like, this is why they are cut out for this and we're not. Because this is where, like, I would be throat punching bitches and making a scene. And that's, I mean, you know, like, clearly that comes with the territory when you're in a fucking band and you're good looking and talented. But that's what, yeah.
Well, they also know that they've got to be smart and let people have their fantasies.
For sure.
You know, not in a weird way, but, you know, they've got to kind of be available. It's just smart business.
For sure.
But they don't let it get far. I mean, trust me, Margaret, one of the last people in the world, I think anyone would want to be stupid and try.
Oh, if anybody tries to pop a feel or something and get inappropriate.
She'd bust that ass.
Yeah, she'll fucking destroy you.
But Nick's so chill.
I know.
It's where they're similar in so many ways, but also so different to me. And I don't know them as well as you, but, you know.
Well, it's just in all the right ways, kind of like we are where, like, you know, we're similar in a lot of ways personality-wise, but then very different in ways so that it just works.
Oh, no, I told you that I don't know how long it's been since I've had a friend or even – don't know, anyone that I've given like a full embrace hug to, especially a guy, nothing wrong with that. But, yeah. you know, usually guys, you do like the bro side yeah. hug. And when Nick walked up, I went to give him the, you know, the dap mm-hmm. and like the mm-hmm. halfway in hug and you kind of shoulder and hug yeah. with the other arm. And he wouldn't have it. He's like, God, no. Get yeah. out. Get in here.
Because he's fucking great.
Get in here.
Yeah.
And gave me, you know, just a big old hug. Hadn't seen him in years. It was so awesome to see that, you know. And yeah. I'm so before we jump off there, we're obviously fanning out here. Or I am. Way more than you. I'm a huge fan now. Might be their biggest fan. And so I wanted to put out a few recommendations. YouTube them for one. They're huge on YouTube. They've got awesome videos on there.
Instagram.
Instagram is, what is there? It's just at, gold. At gold.
The G-G-O-O.
The G-G-O-O-L-L-D-D.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give my top five favorite songs of theirs.
Gold songs. Okay.
And cool. this is in order for me.
Uh-huh.
So if Margaret or Nick ever listen to this, I don't know if they'll like it or not. I think my favorite is The Way That I Feel.
Mm-hmm.
That one's pretty
really
awesome.
I like that one, yeah.
After that would be Without You.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song, too. Dance Through the Winter.
Love that song.
Which is, we all love that. Gunnar likes that one.
Oh, yeah.
After that would be Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's even though this is my fifth, it may be my favorite, I just like the way it sounds, is mm-hmm. Younger Days on there. Mm-hmm. I think it may have been Margaret's first
mm-hmm.
album. I think it was like 2014 or 15.
Maybe.
But it's the shit.
Yeah, it's all so good. I'm just so super proud and that, you know, she's doing so well and it just fucking rocks.
Yeah. Check them out, though. And
yep.
Give them a, even if you're like me, give it a chance. Just to see. I know you'll like it.
Yeah, they're still on tour with OMD right now. They're in Orlando tomorrow, or they're in Orlando today, but they're off today. But Orlando tomorrow night, and then like St. Petersburg. But yeah, it's like gold.com has all their rest of their tour dates and stuff. But yeah, hopefully we're going to get to hang with them, and because they live in Baton Rouge sometimes. So they're going to be in Baton Rouge when we're down in Louisiana. For when Griffin's at the Peyton Manning Passing Academy. So hopefully we'll get to hang out with them a little bit then.
Yeah, we'll get to see Nicole, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
Margaret, all of your old friends that have become yep. my friends too.
Absolutely.
And, crap, what was I going to say? I had one more thing. One last thing on Margaret. She drinks bourbon on the rocks.
That's another like, thing. That's what intimidates you, I think.
Like a man champion. And yeah. I tried a sip of her bourbon. She was like, here. Because, you know, we bought her a few drinks just because we were celebrating.
Maker's Mark on the rocks.
Well, that's if it's Maker's Mark.
Or just
I got her a couple of a little bit higher end bourbons. I mean, nothing that matters to her. And she was like, here, have some. Good God, you've got me so many. Drink some.
Yeah.
And I just put it to my lips. And I turned into a little baby girl.
I've never been
able to
do that.
Good God, this is awful. It's so yucky. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing cooler. I wish I could drink bourbon on the rocks.
She's a fucking G. Literally, like, she was, like, 19 when I met her. And since I met her, she's been drinking, like, whiskey neat. Ooh. Or whiskey on the rocks. Like, I'm like, what? Who does that? Like, it's so gangster. And I never. For me.
Yeah.
I barely can drink whiskey and Coke. Like,
I can't at all. But I spilled some of her drink on my flannel and it burned it like battery acid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so strong. But so we got some pretty talented friends.
Yeah.
But I also want to while we're giving a shout out to friends, I wanted to mention Melissa Geiser's blog.
Yes.
Her departure from Logic.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't mind us saying this because she promotes it on Facebook. It's such a good blog. It's about her mom's struggle with dementia.
Yeah.
I would say battle with dementia.
Well, it's just how she deals with it.
It's so
what's
well
happening,
done.
What's happening with her mom. And it's, you know what I mean? It's
She's such a talented writer.
She's a very good writer.
That I wanted people to know that was out there if they, you know, were had any interest in that topic.
Yeah. I went back and read some of the earlier ones because
it's a fantastic.
I mean,
she's super talented. I mean, I just think she's a great writer. I hope she does some more. And so I wanted to give her a shout out too before we run out to the Walking Dead recap.
Yeah. Oh, is that what's next?
Yeah.
You want to do Walking Dead? Okay.
Yeah. I just need to know if Rick will lose his shit. Morgan's a crazy bastard, we all know that. Nigga killing motherfucker with a baseball bat. Carl lost his life, I don't give a shit. I just wanna know if Carol gonna let Daryl
So, it was not 100% boring on Sunday, I don't think. Not as much as it wasn't as big of a snooze fest as predicted.
No,
I don't
it
think.
It wasn't great.
I thought it was good though. I mean, like, so obviously the whole Dwight, Simon, Negan saga was the best part, or the most entertaining, I guess. So yeah, I mean, I immediately smelled bullshit when Negan did the whole all is forgiven with Simon when they were in that room.
Of course.
Made him get on his knees and was like, yep, all is forgiven, because I mean, for one, and the only fucking reason I called bullshit was because he hadn't even mentioned the trash people yet, and I mean, we all knew that that was severely pissing him off, and the fact that he hadn't mentioned it yet, it was just in his back pocket for what happened later. But another very interesting bit of information that came out during that whole scene was that it apparently was Simon that was responsible for killing all of the men and the boys over at Oceanside. I mean, they've, you know, it's always been known that it was the Saviors. So when you say something was, that a massacre happened at the hand of the Saviors, you assume Negan, but
Negan doesn't like to kill groups of people.
No,
he's always said he'd rather have them as resources.
It's very strategic.
Yeah,
when
he picks
kills
his spots.
Yeah. But so apparently, yeah, Simon's a fucking psychopath, or was, and as soon as, so when Simon was trying to orchestrate that, like, let's go out to the courtyard and kill Negan, this will be fun. As soon as he walked out there, like, Dwight always kind of has a look on his face that, like, he's super concentrating on something, or like,
it's because half his face was melted.
Right. But he always just looks like uneasy. But I could tell, like, just by the look on his face, when, as soon as Simon came out there and was talking to him, like, he told Negan, like, he's not something. Negan's about to walk out of somewhere, and like, or like, shit's about to go down, because I could just tell by the look on his face, like, he went and tattletaled.
He didn't have many options though.
Yeah. Honestly though, like, I don't know why he did that. It was a chance to get rid of Negan. He hates Negan more than anybody.
But when that goes bad, like it's going to, because who's been able to kill Negan so far? No one.
Right. Look where it got him, though.
Yeah. Well, that's because the girl
right.
got picked up.
But still, that's what I'm saying. Like, I still don't understand why he went to... And the only reason I could think of is maybe because Simon's a bit of a wild card. He's obviously a psycho. Dwight thought that he already knew Negan's plan, had that figured out to hand off to Gregory and get the word to Rick and everybody. So maybe he was thinking, well, I already know what Negan's planning to do. If we kill him, there's no fucking telling what Simon's going
to
do.
Well, no, sometimes it's better to live with what you know.
Right.
And you know what you got. Then, I mean, Simon's obviously would have been a atrocious
It would have
leader.
Been a complete, yeah, massacre of horrific. But, yeah, I don't know. but it turned out terrible for Dwight too. So yeah, I mean, the girl that Negan picked up, it, like, totally forgot about that girl. Totally forgot about her. I actually, like, forgot what she looked like until they opened the door to Dwight's room, and I was like, oh shit, it's that girl. Because for a second, that one episode where Dwight saved Tara and them by popping out of the woods and, like, intercepting those saviors, for a split second, I thought that the chick was with, that was with those dudes was that girl. But then I was like, I really don't remember what that girl, the one girl that, like, saw him killing other saviors and then, like, bounced. I couldn't remember what she looked like, but, yeah, was not even anywhere in the vicinity of who I was thinking Negan picked up, but damn, that's convenient for Negan. And Dwight is fucked. I mean, I don't know what are you doing, sir?
Nothing. I'm gonna have a seat.
Oh, okay.
Proceed.
All right. So, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. The previews for the next episode, you see Dwight, like, in one of those nasty sweat shirts with the A on it, like Daryl used to wear, and you see Rick and everybody, like, in a big, huge open field running up in a group. Like, that just seems like fish in a barrel, but
none of them will get shot. They'll get fired at, and the bullets will miss them.
I mean, if the saviors are anything like everybody at the hilltop and clearly cannot shoot fish in a barrel. But yeah, that, so Eugene, that whole part, I'm kind of ready for Eugene to die.
He needs to die, for fuck's sake. That guy, he has the worst set of man tits, too, that I've ever seen. When he's kind of waddling off after he makes himself projectile vomit with one. First off, I would think for me, putting my fingers down my throat, it'd take me a couple times to hit the G spot to make the throw up come up. He was one poke and out. I mean, pro.
He must have, he must know what he's doing.
He had it chambered. Something. It was just unreal. I know they're scraping that shit for him to do as a weapon, but the projectile vomiting of the sardines and cheese was so strange.
It worked, though. I don't know. So that's the part that I'm just, like, a little aggravated with. So, like, I mean, Rosita wasn't in really any hurry to go chase after him. And my thought for that is, you know, his fat ass isn't going to get anywhere fast. And there's no fucking way that he got over there, made some decoy footprints out of all those ashes,
and buried
then buried himself in the ashes and, you know, bones and shit before they, and was completely still before they came around the corner and saw, like, it just, there's no fucking way. But I mean, you know, whatever. It obviously is what they
No, but he's kind of like a man without a country now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's acting like such a douche. He's getting a little too big for his britches over there, like, because he's running his own outpost or whatever, making the bullets, which is for sure a useful trade to have in the apocalypse. But just, I mean,
well, he's become an alcoholic too. You have to remember, he's dependent on wine to sleep now.
He's become a complete fucking douchebag, is what I mean. And I'm just, I'm over him. Like, he, even after he admitted to Abraham that he was not a scientist, whatever, he still had, like, endearing qualities where he was like, but now there's just not any. I don't know.
Well, he has no real allegiance anywhere because he doesn't really want to be with Negan and them because he was obviously forced.
He was just protecting Rosita.
He has turned his back on Rick and them, so he's literally like a man without a country. But what kills me about him that I can't take anymore is his rants were funny for a while. Like his his funny ass wordplay was cool for a minute. The stick. Now it just annoys me.
It gets on my nerves now, too, for sure.
But speaking of a death, I was very, very, very disappointed with how Simon died.
I was just, yeah, I wanted to go back to that, too. Well, I mean, like, so, I don't know. I don't know what we expected, but it had to be something like that, because as soon as I saw him strangling him, I mean, I said it to you. I was like, he's going to put him on the fence. He's going to let him turn and put him on the fence. Because that's kind of his thing. Like, he likes to build up his security system, I think is what he calls it, with putting all the walkers on the fence.
And the people he's made examples of.
Exactly. That's his
trophy case.
For sure. So, and that's like the ultimate trophy. His right-hand man betrayed him, and look where he is now. So he couldn't have done anything that would have.
I thought he would take the iron to him a lot first.
Yeah.
You know, burn him all the fuck up first. But, I mean, and on the flip side of that, as much as I was disappointed, at least it happened in a real way where they were having a old-fashioned dust-up, throwing them things, and he crushed his throat.
Yeah.
But I just wanted him to die a much more suffering death.
That's not a good way to die, getting strangled to death. I mean, that's
pretty
terrible.
Well, he didn't really strangle. He crushed his throat. That's what he said. He said he crushed his throat.
And they made, the sound effects were kind of gross. You could hear it like, yeah. But still, I mean, I definitely knew he was going to put him on the fence. So maybe we'll get, maybe that guy gets to still hang out and be on set, occasionally, because we have to see him on the fence every once in a while.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be in the next, at least for the, you know, the season finale, which...
It kind of keeps him employed for just, a few cameos of him being on the fence and different stages of decay. But I know there was other shit going on in the episode, but I mean, the whole thing with Aaron in the woods was
weird. Like they were testing him or something to see him survive. They want him to die out there. And
I guess. I don't know. But the. Yeah.
But I want to ask you, I want us both to go on the record just to see if we're even close to being any good at thinking like the minds of the writers. What do you expect to be the cliffhanger at the season finale?
I don't know. I haven't really... I really don't know. I
think it's going to end with somebody having Negan trapped, cornered, or captured. Whether it be Rick, Maggie, something.
I don't know.
And then it's going to stop. And he may get loose or something. But.
So, okay, if you're going to force me to think about it, I feel like something might happen to Michonne. She's getting a little too soft.
Way too soft.
And that's, I mean, they like to do that with our favorite characters and take them and make them these, morally just angelic characters and then just,
Yeah, she's taking this Carl thing way too hard.
Well, babe, it's been 3 days.
I'm just saying, in the zombie apocalypse,
yes,
where chances are everyone's gonna die.
He was like,
you gotta be able to put that shit. It's not like now where we got all this time to grieve and everything, or just blow your own brains out. You gotta pick. You don't have time to have the normal.
I mean,
she's completely.
She's destroyed changed. Over it. And I mean, Rick's pretty fucked up over it, too.
In an awesome way.
In a very Rick badass way. But, Michonne's crippled because of it. And it's, it's kind of cold-hearted the way, Negan... Clearly, it got to him a little bit, the letter, but he was still like, fuck all of you. I'm going to kill every single one of you.
No, and I don't want Carl to all of a sudden be the moral compass of the rest of this show. I'll shit myself if we've got voiceovers from Carl for the next. Because I agree with Chris, my brother. We talked to him. I think it's got 2 more seasons left. I think they'll go to 10.
Yeah. We'll see.
But write that down. I think the cliffhanger's going to be involving Negan and his capture. Okay. I have no idea. It could be totally
wrong. I think something's going to happen to Michonne. I hope it doesn't. I mean, I don't want to, you know, because I love her, but Jesus, that she's way too in the dumps, and that's when people get fucking killed. I mean, you can't.
I also think that old doucher old guy that ran the hilltop,
Gregory.
He'll die. For the love of God, he should.
Fuck's sake, he should be dead six times over, and he's the biggest weasel shitbag human that deserves to die. So, yeah. But season finale in like a few days at this point. Well,
you guys heard it here first. We've already told you what's going to happen, so why even watch it? Well, cool. All right, well, you want me to run into my just tip? We haven't done one of these in a couple of episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Just the tizip.
Please.
Just the tip. Just the tip, tip. Just the tip. Just for a second. Just to see how it feels. Yeah. Just the tip. Just the tip, tip. Just the tip. Just for a second. Just to see how it feels. Yeah. Just the tip. Just the tip.
Cool. Well, what I wanted to go over, I was reading a couple of things on Facebook that, you know, I'm not going to mention anybody's names, but where you'll see a husband or a wife or a partner saying that they're, you know, disappointed in something with their spouse or partner that they haven't changed. Like, an example would be like, they're, say it's the husband. Oh, my husband is still such a slob. I can't stand it. And I mean, what did you expect when you, if you married them and they were a slob?
Yeah.
Then chances are they were always a slob and that they always will be.
Well, that's something that's just like, that's kind of marriage 101, and I think we both kind of failed this miserably going into our first marriages, which is hence why those failed. But you're not going to change anything. Like, you shouldn't go into a marriage thinking, well, you know, I really dislike this about this person, but I bet I can change that about them.
Bingo. Absolutely. 1,000,000%. I think it's the biggest mistake that people make.
If something bothers you that much.
Oh, agreed. People can change, and they have every right to change, and they may change during a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you expect them to, you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you think for a second that it's a mandate of change, or, you know, there's a part of their personality, like you were saying, that you do not like or that doesn't fit you well, but you know, maybe that'll change, or it'll change when we have kids, or it'll change.
No. Yeah. Terrible.
It's already doomed.
Yeah.
And it's not fair of you to do that to someone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have it done to you. And I mean, obviously guilty. I mean, like you just said, we both have had failed marriages where that was a huge part.
Yes.
I'm willing to say, at least for mine, on both sides.
For sure. I think I'm
fairly
certain.
There's probably a million things about me that, you know, my ex-wife was like, oh, maybe that'll change.
And it did. Absolutely. And I'm sure my ex-husband, same thing. And then, I mean, I know I went in with certain things, and all it does is just make it worse.
Well, it creates resentment.
Exactly.
Because you'll build up resentment for them not changing about something that you never should have.
I went into my first marriage
expected them to change.
Already with resentment over
things.
Well,
sure.
And, I mean, there was already resentment building up that I was like, nah, getting married, don't fix it.
Oh, sure. No, 100%. I think everybody does that. Yeah, then
that's
throw
what
a,
we should do.
Throw a kid on there.
Well, I didn't do that.
I know, but you know, people think.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, we'll have a kid, that'll fix it, and maybe it does for 6 months while you're both just getting up and down mm-hmm. to do things. But those kind of issues, if they creep in there, or if you find yourself wanting to change something about your partner that you knew of mm-hmm. when you signed up for it.
Yes.
Big sign that your shit's in deep, deep, deep trouble. You can, I mean, you need to fix it. You can change that mindset and hopefully realize that you're in the wrong there. Because even if it's a behavior that's unbecoming, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you knew about it before. Mm-hmm. And that's trying to change the person that you're with.
Yeah.
Manually, and that's never going to work. Now,
not organically.
No, and it will evolve and change. I mean, it's just
everybody changes everybody will. As you get older or whatever. But it's, yeah. I mean, that's, and nobody's perfect, obviously. And that's, you know, with us, there's, I'm sure there's plenty of fucking things that you know are not. I don't know. They're not something that just get under your skin every single day, but I don't think there's anything you would want to change about me. And
no.
There's nothing that I would want to change about you. Everybody has their shit that's...
Well, I think we both learned that first off, which is kind of helps us in this regard.
Yeah.
Because I knew going in that I don't want to be in a place where someone wants me to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely isn't, wouldn't be fair for me to want something to change about somebody and expect it to. I mean, because I don't want that done to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, I mean, it just...
It's just a mutual, like, I mean, it's like an unspoken understanding, but we're speaking about it now. But, I mean, it's...
You're never going to win that fight. If that's coming up in your relationship... Yeah. That's one that gets, you should always just table that motherfucker.
Well, definitely don't go on Facebook and start blasting it.
Yeah, that's definitely a no-no.
That goes back to one of our, I don't know, older episodes.
One of our first ones.
Yeah, where you had just the tip about
cutting your nuts off, yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, I'm sorry, whoever did that, like that just, you know, you're obviously not happy.
Yeah, I hope that gets better for you. But I also wanted to ask you, this is, I'm done with that. I think we captured the mm-hmm. essence and gave top tier advice. But the, I just wanted to ask you, what do you think is the number one grief about marriage when it's asked to men? What would you say their number one thing? I've researched this, so I'm prepared.
Oh. Was it
multiple
like,
sources.
Was it like a Family Feud type survey that you researched?
No, it was a couple of different actual like...
So your average just dude, when asked about what they don't like about marriage...
What's their number one complaint?
Their number one complaint
about marriage.
If you
ask men about marriage.
Like, I would say, just off the top of my head, like the not enough sex, probably.
That's actually like three or four.
What the fuck? Just when I think I know what guys think about all the time, you've made perfectly clear is a very important. Okay, so all right, let me guess again. What about their wives keeping a tight leash on them and not letting them go out and shit?
No, that's actually the the number one combined issue with marriages, boundaries, that's what is considered that. But for guys, I'll help you out, is surprising, but it's also almost a cliche because it's nagging for men.
I didn't want to say that because that's so fucking cliche.
Yeah, that's number one for
nagging.
Men. And
okay.
Then what would you think women's number one complaint is?
Laziness.
Nope. Try again. Just throw one out there.
Let's see. not enough money or something.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
And this isn't one that I can even brag about because I'm terrible at this, admittedly. It's listening.
Okay.
Women's biggest complaint. But it, what's funny is how those go together. It's a vicious cycle.
Nagging that men
don't want to hear the nagging, and women don't want to have a man that doesn't listen.
Yeah.
So which is the chicken or the egg?
It's the not fucking listening.
Maybe. I'm asking a question. I don't know. It is a vicious cycle.
I'm just saying that because I'm a woman. And I just have to know that I need you to be looking at me.
You definitely know when to, how to work.
If I'm talking, if it's anything of any importance, I know what needs to be happening. We can't be eating dinner in front of the TV. You can't have your phone anywhere in your hand at all. I mean, it's fine. I just know when. And if it's something that I need to tell you right then, I'm like, hey, you. Look at me.
No, yeah, absolutely. You do, for sure.
But that makes sense. I mean, and that is a direct...
They're just interrelated.
Yeah. I mean, those top complaints are in direct conjunction of each other.
Yeah. And so hilarious. My whole point of that is just... to highlight it, because for me, I would have thought just like you, for men it'd be sex, and that could be. I'm not trying to be chauvinistic or whatever. I mean, who knows, whatever. But I would think it's not getting enough sex.
I just feel like that's the first thing on in every guy's mind.
But it kind of makes sense to me, and that gets down to your definition of nagging. You know, I'm sure everybody's is different.
I think of it just like repeatedly telling somebody something over and 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 over.
To me, nagging, that's probably the proper definition of what you're saying. But what I consider nagging is when, and you rarely do this, so it's not.
Only about the bathroom.
It's not a problem for us.
Well, you don't
even do that. No, but that's not even nagging. Because for me, what nagging is if someone's talking to you, like if your wife's talking to you like you're a child.
Oh,
or,
okay. Yeah. No, I don't do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. To me, that's not. But everyone's different.
Yeah. And I feel like that's just, that is something right there that can immediately start causing resentment from the husband. Like if you get to a point where you're nagging, legitimately nagging and treating your husband like a child, and I mean, then he's going to start resenting you, and then you're going to start it's going to be a vicious cycle of resentment at that point. But yeah, no, I feel like I'm nagging you sometimes where I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's fucking piss on the floor again.
But you're just telling the truth.
It's just, it's factual. It is. And it just gets under my skin. But
it doesn't bother me near as bad as it bothers, that you must think it bothers me when you say that. It does not bother me.
Because it just, flies out of my mouth.
Well, and for one, not to interrupt you, but I've been making more of an effort.
It's been better.
Whether it's obvious or not.
It is, baby.
So.
It is.
I'm not going to,
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to, give you too many props.
I've been practicing more with aiming.
I'm so proud.
And instead of putting both hands on the wall and leaning forward, I'm actually touching my wiener with one hand. I lean with the other.
And that is all I asked you to do
recently. I'm with you.
Really appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm just saying, making the effort.
I either thought maybe I was maybe he's wiping it up, but that's not.
No, it's not that.
You're not going to bend all the way down to the floor.
I'm sure it's not 100%, but I am definitely.
It's not. I have made an effort. I have noticed. I just didn't want to say anything because I didn't know if it was just happy accident that it was going into the toilet.
Yeah.
Or if you're actually making a conscious effort, I really appreciate it. Yeah. I have noticed it.
No, well, you're welcome, but I don't consider that nagging at all, but, you know, I think that all this could be wrapped up from my professional, totally qualified opinion, is that I just think a lot of people nowadays with our society and when it comes to relationships, they want to be, or they think they want to be in a relationship for all of the, like, the shallower fun reasons of it, but no one wants to be there and present and involved in the hard shit and having the difficult conversations when you have to have them and the harder times.
I mean, nobody wants that for sure, but I mean, it's just comes with a long-term serious relationship. That's just shit that's going to happen. Nobody's going to be in a marriage or a serious relationship like this and not have that kind of shit.
Well, I mean, I think that's where you can, where your truest colors are brought out.
Absolutely.
And where you can,
where you can get even closer.
You can shine. Well, you can also shine yourself as a partner. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if you're hurting in other departments, mm-hmm. but you know, when the shit hits the fan, you're dependable and you're mm-hmm. going to be there when there's, you know, health problems, family problems, you know, any of this, you know, you don't tuck your tail and run, you know, you partake, you're going to have a lot more leeway on your,
well, that's another place where you excel,
baby. On your other, bad parts. So it goes back to banking your shit, like I said, too. So it all ties back together.
Yeah.
You're all welcome.
And it all comes back to how many times you have sex in a week. I'm just kidding.
And that's what I'm really getting to, is how often are you giving it up? But, yeah, we got a few questions too.
I forgot we had some of those.
So, I'll take the first one because the second one is obviously directed at you, even though they didn't put your name.
Okay.
So the first question was, how do you feel about gay marriage?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that one. I think I can speak for both of us.
An easy answer, yeah.
We're 100% for it.
Yeah.
We think anybody should be able to love anybody that they want and marry and divorce them.
Yeah, love is love. Hey, I don't care.
God, no. In this home, that is never, ever.
That's not even up for debate. It's
even an issue.
It seems ridiculous to me that it is still an issue that
to anybody
in this day and age, or in any day and age for that fucking matter, that it is still even a topic of controversy. Like, it's just so stupid to me. I don't,
No, and people have, obviously, if they have a problem with it,
there's some deep-seated emotional struggles.
When people use the, you know, the religious angle on it, I don't have any time for that because, you know, Jesus would be the last person to shun anyone at any time. I mean, that was his whole game. He'd love it. He loves everybody.
Yeah, no.
But I don't even equate it to that.
Asinine.
But I think most people that are obviously ignorant to it have not seen, maybe as much as me and you have, some of the best families, some of the best parents that are raising some of the best kids are same-sex families.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. I mean, you're fucking crazy if you think that two men or two women can't raise a fantastic family, because they are totally, the ones we know, some of the best out there.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't even.
Not make as sense gay parents, just as best just parents.
Parents in general. I mean, that's just even silly. So
I think we're pretty clear and unified on that one. That's
marriage is marriage. It shouldn't matter what the sex of the two people getting married is. It's irrelevant.
No. And I'm 30% gay. What would you say? I mean,
if
like
everybody's
20,
being
30?
Honest with themselves, I think everybody.
Sure. Like, I'm kidding.
Sure.
But
especially with all the scarves you have on right now for no reason.
Oh, I know. And the Britney Spears shirt that I wore. It was incredible.
Amazing.
I felt beautiful in it. And I think I was.
I mean, the fact that they had that shirt in your size means that other...
Means it was made for me.
People of... Yeah. I think you're blazing the trail for everyone to just realize that...
Well, Britney's the shit,
Britney,
too, so...
It's Britney, bitch.
She is a awful singer, but an awesome entertainer.
She's an icon.
She's the shit.
I love her.
I don't think she sang in years anyway, but she's a fucking killer entertainer.
She can sing in the studio with all the shit, but who cares? I want to go see her in Vegas, for sure.
Well, she had me at Hit Me Baby One More Time.
No doubt.
When I was 20 years old.
God, yes.
I tried to call her at her home. I'm not joking.
In Louisiana?
I called information and got her home phone number on a road trip after getting her CD at a gas station that was on the counter when it was just the single, Hit Me Baby One More Time, because I thought she was cute.
So you went super stalker on her?
Oh, I went.
What were you going to say to her if you actually got her on the phone? Hey, girl.
Probably something awesome.
Hey, girl.
Probably something awesome like, hey, what's up? My name's Randall. I'm in Alabama. Why'd you hang up? Is Brittany there? Oh, you think you're better than me?
This
is ridiculous. Should be in love.
You're perfectly playing this out in your head.
I have no idea, but I tried to... what's even funnier about that is I used Derek's installed... car phone in his truck that we had hijacked.
Probably cost $30.
Guarantee it was like $100 because I was calling her on the road while we drove to South Carolina in his truck.
Long distance was a factor back then.
Well, I think it was like $1,000 for 30 minutes for a real cell phone back then that was installed in your...
You owe Derek a lot of money.
Lots of money. And he's such a champ.
All right, what's the next question?
The next one is, do girls ever joke with other girls about fucking their friends' dads like guys do about their friends' moms? Which this is a great question. Like, guys would be like, oh, bitch, that's why I fucked your mom last night, motherfucker. You sound like your mom did last night. And
I've never heard girls do that.
It grosses me out, actually, to hear if a girl's like... That's why I put this pussy on your dad.
I'm sure it happens. I've never used that as a like punchline or like a dig at somebody. And I've never heard any of my friends, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I would guarantee you it does happen yeah.
Well, you'd have to be a rowdy crowd of girls to use that as, I don't know why that double standard works, but. Guys being like, oh, that's why, I had fun with your mom last night. Ha! If a girl flat out said, that's why I sat on your dad's face last night, I think everyone would shut up and leave and hate her.
Then it's like,
But unless you had big, huge balls as a chick, and I'd probably be friends with that girl that said that.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guarantee you it happens.
It's a great question, though.
It's very creative.
I've never thought of it.
Never. That's never crossed my mind.
I've never heard it. All right, next one is favorite horror movie character.
Favorite horror movie character?
I would assume it's like...
Pennywise the Clown?
Like a killer.
Yeah, Pennywise the Clown is the most horrifying to me.
Jason Voorhees for me.
Absolutely, that's a good one. Freddy Krueger, classic.
But Jason's the best.
Pennywise the Clown is the one that stands out in my head that truly got into my head and in my nightmares was Pennywise. But like Jason, Michael Myers is...
He would be my second.
Is a really good one. Freddy Krueger was just silly.
But still awesome. I mean, I love the...
Awesome.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
It was the dream part of it where that's where it made it less real. was that fantasy part of it where it was just in your dream. You know, like the Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers and them, like, were just like dudes.
Mm-hmm. Unkillable, like, dudes, but yes.
Right. But at the core of it, they're a human guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a murdering machine. Which is why I mean, you know, Pennywise kind of falls into that category of Freddy Krueger. So, kind of contradicted myself right there, but he's fucking...
I've just never watched it before, so I don't know.
I thought you said you watched it like I did when it came on TV.
No. No, I saw the stuff for it when it was on TV.
I remember sitting in my room in Germantown, Tennessee. I had a TV in my room, and we had cable, and it was like... It wasn't on, like, I mean, it was on, like, fucking ABC or CBS or whatever.
I remember,
like,
that was, like, a miniseries.
It wasn't, it was, like, a three-part, I don't know how many parts it was, but, yeah. And scared the ever-living fucking shit out of me. And I cannot bring myself to watch the new one because the new one I know is going to be even scarier. The guy that plays Pennywise is super frightening. Tim Curry is just always... the shit. So, I mean, like, he's the original and is the man, but horrifying.
I mean, I'll put it this way. For me, I'm almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
We're 39.
You're 39 currently. Yeah. We both are.
But to this day, when I walk out of the house and it's dark, if I'm going to my truck or going up to get the trash can... The person that I picture being in the woods looking at me is Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. No.
So that's why my answer is that.
And if I ever hear...
If someone jumps out at me, I expect it to be Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
Not Freddy Krueger, not Michael Myers, no. Or the clown. I expect Jason Voorhees.
Huh?
Which is why I love Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Part 6 especially my favorite.
Is that the Corey Feldman one? No, it's chapter 4.
Yeah. 6 is where Tommy's older, and he goes to Jason's grave and starts stabbing his carcass with that part of the metal fence, and then it gets hit with lightning, and he comes back to life. Tommy ends up drowning him in Camp Crystal Lake in a fiery boat at the end mm-hmm. with a rock attached to the
mm-hmm,
chain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which That's does 6. No good, because, I mean, he's unkillable.
He's part fish, too. From his drowning.
Well, he's obviously a zombie is what it comes down to.
But if you think about it, really his mom would be the scariest. I mean, she's only in it for a minute, but she's what started it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good question. big horror movie fan here, so.
The next one is... When people say they would die for their spouse, mm-hmm. do they really mean it?
I think it means, like, because, like, for me, I think it depends on the context. Like, so if you came down with something, some kind of terminal illness or something that you were in, like, a great deal of pain, I would want to switch places with you and have me be in that rather than you have to go through that. Also, I think, like, you know, jumping in front of a bullet I think some people really mean it. I mean, I would.
But I would knock you over so I could take it.
I don't know if me jumping in front of you, like, you're wider than I am.
Yeah, so. it would still hit me.
It wouldn't really, I don't know if I would actually.
That'd be a valiant effort, but yeah, you're too small. Yeah, I'm going to take the bullet. If our family's getting fired at, the chances are high that I'm going to get nicked.
Me and Gunnar could both jump in front of you.
And I'm still going to get smoked. I think so. And that's a good question. It makes me think.
I don't think everybody would.
I've proved it.
What?
With the snowboarding going
you
off the
did.
Cliff.
You absolutely did.
I risked my life for no reason.
You came down there. I almost went off the side of a mountain in, where are we, Wyoming? We're in Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
And traversing on some godforsaken fucking ski path.
Which is a flat. Which means snowboarding on a flat, long stretch.
So you have to have some, you got to have some speed going into it.
And weight. And
weight to kind of hold you on the path. I don't have as much.
She was with a group of guys. You got to set this. You were with all guys that were 200 plus pounds.
I was the only girl in a group of like six or seven guys. And it was super windy that day. And so they're all traversing like a bunch of bosses. And then I'm like, wait up, guys. And I veered off the path down the side of the mountain. And then I was fucked. Because for one.
It's roped off.
There's no getting back up to the path. And I just kept going like down. And then saw like this little tiny like dental floss rope and, sat down on my butt and then looked and saw a sign that was basically like skull and crossbones. Like, hey, friendly reminder, you pass here and you die. And I was literally like, my snowboard was like touching the sign, like, don't go past here or death. And Randall was right in front of me on the path. And then when he realized I was never going to make it, he just
bombed. I think I was behind you.
Were you?
Yeah. Like, I was usually would stay behind you because, I mean,
I thought
when we come down the hill, you're faster than me.
Oh, okay.
And so I think we hit the path and I was behind you and I was just kind of keeping my eye on you. And you'd have to picture it like if you're. Yeah, driving down a road like in a cartoon, and then someone falls asleep at the wheel and they start just going off the road slowly.
Off slowly. The shoulder.
And I'm behind her and I see her starting to do that. But then I do the math and know it's because she's not heavy enough. She doesn't have enough weight on her front foot to keep her moving on a flat level like everyone else. And like I totally could have. I mean, I had plenty of momentum. Weight to keep to keep me getting to across to the hill where we were going. But so I see her start to veer and I specifically remember the thought because I saw that it was not a good place to go and that there was a drop off. And I was like, fuck, God, fuck, I got to go too. And I just followed her.
I think you told my parents, you're like, well, I wasn't going to be able to come back from Wyoming without her. So
no. And I didn't, you know,
she's going off the mountain. I was too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do to help or anything. Cause you were, you know, you had a good, I don't know, maybe 15 yards on me.
Yeah.
And so I was either going to,
it was literally,
I was just going to watch you go off and then I was going to go off. But, and I think in my head, I thought I was saying to sit down, but I may just be thinking of watching you sit down.
Yeah. And there was really no point of you doing that other than to just be jumping on the grenade with me. Cause it's not like there was anything you could do to help me.
I totally helped you realize how to dig yourself out. Cause you were,
yes, that's
you would have just sat there like quicksand.
I was just going to wait for ski patrol to,
cause it was waist. Like it was tits deep.
It was literally, I was up to my tits in snow and, I was like, well, Randall, maybe, and Marshall and all them will,
a helicopter
will have to come get me because I don't know how the fuck I'm gonna get out of here. But yeah, I mean, you just came down there and got yourself in the same situation and helped me figure out, oh, we need to take our snowboards off and then dig out of the snow with, use it as a shovel or like a,
well, as a leverage,
yes.
Reach out with it, pull ourselves,
yes,
pull it out, reach.
Yep.
Yeah. But then, so we got out of that and our friends had all sat down on the hill and were just chilling.
At the next like intersection or whatever of like the paths.
And I've never been more fatigued in my life than when we got,
oh my God.
It was just like getting yourself out of quicksand, right?
And you were like mad at them.
I was so mad at them. I was the meanest son of a bitch I've ever known.
Uh-huh.
I was so pissed off.
I was so because grateful just to be alive.
I was so mad because they should have known better. I knew when we started traversing, there was no way you could traverse that long. But we were in a group, and me and you are just as much to blame because we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment of we almost died, I would have fought every one of them. And that's not cool or smart or wouldn't have been good.
Yeah.
But I was unpleasant
for the rest of the day.
For quite a while. Till I realized that, hey, at least we lived.
That was where I was. My head was like, we're alive. Yay. Randall was like, I want to fight everybody. And I was like, no, but we're
I specifically
alive.
Remember, like, you motherfuckers should have known. That's bullshit. Y'all are just taking off. She's 120 pounds. The fuck are you thinking? How come I'm the only one that was willing to... Y'all should have been willing to die with us, fuckers. But, no, yes. So
you've proved that you would die for me, and I...
Or with you.
With me.
Yeah.
And that was greatly appreciated, and, yeah.
That's hilarious. That's a funny question. Next one, I'll just let you take it, because it's... there's so many for me, but... Do you have any weird rituals?
Oh, Jesus. So many. I'm a bit OCD, so probably...
Just name your weirdest, what you think is your weird, if you even want to.
Weird is relative. I think the things that I think are important, I guess, like...
How about I say what I think your weirdest is, you say what you think my weirdest is.
Oh, I was going to say mine, like, the way I fucking load the dishwasher is like an obsessive thing. Everything has to be in the fucking right place or it's wrong. But okay, you tell me what my weirdest one is.
I think your weirdest one is your need to immediately vacuum. There's nothing that's going to change that. I mean, I accept it. I love it. It's just part of you.
If there's like any speck of dirt on the floor, yeah.
You almost have to vacuum like clockwork. When you get home with Gunner and the dogs go out, when they come
you have
to run it. Mm-hmm. After we eat and everything, you have to run it again. Uh-huh. Like our little, you know, electric or battery off
cordless. Just the cordless one, yeah.
But you wouldn't, I don't think you'd be able to sleep right if you didn't. That's what I'm saying. I think it's a ritual.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
As well as functional.
For sure. It's, I mean, I don't know if that's weird, though. I mean, I think that's, to me, that's just being, that's part of my OCD-ness, though. Like, I mean, after the dogs come in, I always have to wipe John's feet off because he just, like...
Tramples in his own shit for fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's not every single time, but even if it's not shit on his feet, it's he just digs his feet into the dirt so aggressively that, like, if I don't wipe his feet off when he comes in, he just tracks dirt everywhere. And then after we eat, it's because from whoever was cooking or whatever, like, there's inevitably going to be shit that gets on the...
Carnage.
Yeah, like, from wiping off the counters, the stuff gets on the floor. So, like, it's just, you know, I feel like that's normal. But your weirdest ritual, let me see. Let me pick one.
Mine are way more toward the weird than yours.
I don't know.
Some of mine are absolutely not even functional.
Ritual, though. I mean, I would say the having to go get ice in the morning and at night, that's a very ritualistic behavior.
The good ice.
First thing in the morning, yes.
I have my own little cooler.
He's got a cooler that he carries around, like one of those, like, it looks like, I don't know what it is.
Like a huge thermos.
There you go. And gets it filled to the top at the MAPCO with like the little nugget ice is what it's called. Like rabbit pellet ice. I don't know what the fuck. But it's the good ice. And he has to do that in the morning and then at some point in the afternoon because it either he uses it all throughout the day or it melts some and God forbid... there being
an outage.
Well, an outage is out of the question, but like, God forbid it get past the halfway point, even like that's critical time. But
all the gas stations that I get it at, by the way, none of them charge me for it. They all know me. And it's weird because I see other people look at me like, why the fuck does that guy get to just fill up with the good ice? But I've been doing it for years.
So many years.
That's a good one. That is true. I didn't think of that one.
You didn't?
But it is a ritual. I don't feel right if I don't.
Well, and that kind of goes hand in hand with just all the multiple beverages you always have to have. And that the big, so he drinks Mountain Dew mostly all day, or has a Mountain Dew, doesn't necessarily drink it all day, just has to have it next to him
to sip on. I don't drink. If so, the total amount that gets drank
exactly
is minimal. It's crazy.
That's the weird thing, is that like he has to have like the most giant cup possible,
32 ouncer.
Never once have I seen him drink it in its entirety. It's always kind of full
because the ice melts. Well, and I pour it out.
And that's another ritual thing where it's like, yeah, he fills it up almost to the top with ice, then pours the drink in. But then if the drink falls below like a half an inch down into the cup, it's like he puts more ice in it and then puts more drink in it. And it's like, this is a gigantic cup. Like, you've got some time before you really need to refill it. And so it's like a constant process throughout the day of taking like little baby sips and then pouring more drink in.
No,
that it's always full.
It's unreal to me that, I mean, our whole family is so used to it now. But if we ever had the money, we would own one of those ice machines.
I've looked into it so many times just to see like if anything's changed over the years or whatever. But one of those like giant, like that it's
industrial ones.
Yeah, we have it at my office, and they have them at hospitals where, yeah, it's just like it, that's all it does is make that kind of ice.
I need that.
They have them at like Sonic. Yeah, they're like $6,000. So like,
I will have one day.
For sure. I mean, like, I've committed that to you, that one day we will have one installed like in a garage of whatever house we're living in, or yeah, something. But yeah.
No, if I don't have that, it's for sure a OCD thing. Because if I don't have access to my ice, it's a bad feeling.
Your universe is
very much like Sheldon Cooper with that. It's all rough. Like when I left it at the MAPCO when we went to the Echota.
Oh, you were distraught.
And I'd filled it up, sat it down, and paid, and left it. Now I knew it was safe, because they all know me there. I'm big juicy.
Gross.
And so I knew. I told you flat out. I was like, oh, they've sat it.
They've got it behind the counter.
They knew it was big juicies, and
they'll probably have it refilled for me when I get there.
Yeah, and I mean, when I finally got back to it, and was able to save her.
Why doesn't it have a name? She needs to have a name.
I don't know. Probably because she's so dirty. I rarely wash her. She needs a bath.
I'm the only one that's ever washed that thing out, because I have glanced in it and seen like that red mildew that forms on like the rim of it.
You know why that is? Is because at racetrack, when I get ice, it's red Powerade next to the ice lever. And I just put the whole thing there. And if you don't push just right on the ice dispenser, you'll get Powerade too.
I've done that before when getting it for you.
I get a little bit of red in there, so.
Yeah.
But that's funny. But I thought yours for me would be the Kroger that I have to start over in the freezer.
Oh, fuck. And yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Have to walk the same
route. Oh, my God. I did not even think about that, especially because of our whole discussion when we went in the other doors yesterday.
And I allowed it to be broken. I was proud of myself.
And I was full willing to be like, all right, so we need to go to the other side, complete other side of the store for no goddamn reason, because we didn't even need anything over there.
Mm-hmm.
We needed everything that was on the side of the store that we came in.
We were tired, though. We had a long day. I remember that, too. I didn't.
But I was all like, I mean, I just, yeah. So, well, yeah, we walk into Kroger, and he has to start all the way over to the left side, but like the ice cream and the cheese and stuff is. Doesn't matter what you're there to get. If you're there to get something that's in the aisle that's directly in front of you when you walk in, doesn't fucking matter. You have to go left all the way down to the end, and there's a certain route that has to be taken.
But can I tell you where every item in Kroger is at and the aisle number?
People that work at Kroger have stopped him and asked him where something is.
And where do I need to put these? Where's the beef jerky go? That's aisle 8, dude. It's aisle 8 right after the popcorn.
Get your fucking shit together, buddy. Yeah.
Just give it to me. I'll go put them up. I'll block and face it. Just hand me the fucking beef jerky.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you could easily restock that entire Kroger in your sleep.
Yeah, I see them every day.
Everybody that works at that Kroger knows Randall, and now a lot of the cashiers have started to know me, especially like once I ask if I go there without him and I ask for Cherry Skull, they're like, oh, you, that's right. I think you look familiar. I'm like, yeah, my husband's a big guy.
They just ask me now, are you getting a can?
Every cashier, yes.
Every single one of them.
Uh-huh.
It's mandated.
That's funny.
All right, well, the last one is, can guys be sexually harassed by girls?
For sure. I think so.
So.
Like, yeah. Same way. I mean, whether it's just verbal or like grabbing their ass. I mean, if it's unwelcome and it makes, I don't see why there wouldn't be a guy that, and I mean, I'm pretty sure I've heard of it happening with, I mean, somebody where if it's anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's sexual, that can be considered sexual harassment, and it can be from a woman to a guy.
Sure. I mean, where I...
You've been sexually harassed.
Well, where it gets murky to me...
Because you aren't comfortable with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's where I'm saying, like, my uncomfortableness isn't enough to make me think of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable for me because I don't like to be touched by people that I don't know. Like, not like I'm like a germaphobe, because it's nothing to do with that. It's more of a personal space thing for me. It's not a germaphobe thing. And it's, but so, I mean, yes, there's been plenty of times, plenty of women, I mean, not like I'm some kind of stud or not, but there's been times where women have grabbed my biceps to want to feel them.
And you're immediately uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay. I mean, but I don't like, good God.
No, it's not like you're like, I'm reporting you to the police.
I'm violated. Now, I was violated the other day at the Brazilian place.
At the Brazilian wax place, yeah.
When me and Griffin went and were taking care of the eyebrows.
Yeah.
And I never told this story because we've been so long, but I'm sure we're over, but I still got to tell it. This was horrifying. And we go to this Brazilian wax place. It's fantastic. The girls there are awesome. I do my eyebrows now. I don't have a problem with saying it. I like it. I think it looks great.
It does. It looks amazing.
Guys should take care of their shit. But me and Griffin went, and the normal girls are at the desk, and they, you know, take our names and tell us it'll be a minute. And there's a new woman in the lobby there, and she just starts talking to Griffin a lot, and Griffin was kind of like, I don't know what to say, and he wasn't really saying anything, so I started answering for him, not so it's not rude, you know. She was like, oh, what grade are you in, you know, do you listen to your parents, blah, 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 and so I was kind of answering, humoring her, and then she immediately told me to shut up, basically, and let him answer, and so then I was like, you know, shit, he don't want to answer. Or he would have been. And so, anyway, so then she starts asking something about, you know, she does massages. And she's trying to sell them. And so I could smell that a mile away. So I immediately go to, yeah, I can't have massages of my neck because I had, you know, two discs cut out and my neck fused, you know, 10 months ago. So, you know, they have to be pretty specialized to touch my neck because people don't want to hurt it. And she was like, oh, don't worry. Yeah, do you have, you know, mobility? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And literally, I just blink and she's standing behind me with both of her hands down my shirt in the back, like down halfway down my back, rubbing all this shit. Griffin's like laughing, but just sitting there. And so the girls come back and call Griffin to go. And I always usually go sit with him to laugh and take a picture and all that. And he just flat out abandoned me. Like, I was hoping he'd be like, Dad, come on. He didn't help at all. I'm trying to get out of it. And she would not stop. I was like, oh, you know, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested in a massage. I'm not a big fan. Oh, no, 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 but right here, feel this. This is good, isn't it? I was like, oh, God, no.
Get your fucking hands out of my shirt.
It's not great. And then she's all over the neck. Oh, where'd you have your surgery? I was like, you know, they did the front plate and all that. And so she starts rubbing on the back of my neck and is like, oh, yeah, I can feel the metal plate. Yeah. And I'm like, bitch, it's in the front.
Yeah, not plate's even in the right place.
You're so full of shit. Please stop. And literally, I had to literally be like, please stop.
I'm not into this.
And yeah, I had to walk away with her arms down my back. And it's still fine. I'm not like violated. Like,
no.
I'm sucking my thumb in the corner. But I literally text you as soon as we got out to the car.
You're like, I just got molested at the wax place. And I'm like, what's the address? Where the fuck were you?
But man, I've never been so aggressively. And I know she's trying to sling massages. And she's probably good to most people.
But she can't take a damn hint. Yeah, sure.
And just not a.
She wasn't there when we went and got our eyebrows done last week.
It would probably do wonders for me to actually have a massage.
You don't like massages, so you'd be so tense.
No, that's
like,
what I'm saying. Unless
you wouldn't be able to relax.
Unless you go get certified.
And massage you,
yeah. I would be so tense that I would never let... Yeah. They would be like, for God's sakes, let go of your...
You still
say that to me sometimes, where you're like, good God, stop tensing up.
I have to like push your shoulders down when I'm like... trying to shave your head and stuff. I'm like, good, stop. You're making my neck hurt the way you're sitting.
But yeah, so cool.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's all I've got.
I want to go to bed.
I'm golden.
Me
Speaking
too.
Of gold, make sure you check out our buddies at Gold.
Nice.
The band. They are the shit tits.
Gold. And remember to follow us on Instagram, Married AF Podcast, Twitter at Married As Fuck, and Facebook, Married AF Podcast.
Yeah, and I did want to mention beforehand, want to say thank you to everybody. Our numbers have been through the roof. No idea where all these people are coming from that are checking out the show, but thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
We love it and hope you like it with our ramblings here. And the t-shirt sales were fantastic. You guys really came out and supported us on those. And we'll see about doing another one. We hope you guys that got them liked them. And let us know if you want to see anything in particular on another shirt. And that's it for me. So make sure you go fuck yourself.